Thursday, CUSA fans. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. As always, I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have the second installment of our football season preview series on deck for you today. As a reminder, we posted the season preview release schedule on social media the other day, so go check that out. And we would love it if you guys gave us a follow while you're there. The handle is at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe to CUSA Insider wherever you are listening so you never miss a new episode. We will be back next Tuesday with a Jacksonville State preview, followed by the newest members of Conference USA, the Kennesaw State Owls, on Thursday. But for today's episode, we'll be talking all things Middle Tennessee Blue Raider football. There is certainly a lot of newness in that program this year. A new head coach, new offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, and 59 new players on the roster, 40 of which are scholarship athletes. So I can't wait to see them take the field so we can see what they are working with this year. Today, we've got an interview with Sam Doughton, in-house beat writer, on staff, actually, there at MTSU, which is a very unique role, and he will get into that a little bit more in the interview. And also, we've got our very own Josh Yonis joining us again for another episode here from the conference office. And then, following all the football talk with Sam and Josh, you'll get to hear a fun previously recorded interview from CUSA Football Media Day with head coach Derek Mason and three of his players. Yes, I said three. You get an extra bonus player on this one, but you'll get to hear from quarterback Nick Vadiato, transfer safety Brendan Harris, and linebacker Devin Curtis. It's a bit of a long one today, but if you're like me and you have a long commute home, it's the perfect length for a scenic drive somewhere or some 5 o'clock traffic. So, all right, everybody. Let's go ahead and get started here. Here is your season preview for the MTSU Blue Raider football program. Joining us here today on CUSA Insider is Sam Doughton, staff writer at Middle Tennessee State University, the in-house beat writer for all things Blue Raider athletics. Sam, thank you so much for joining Josh and I today. We are super excited to talk about the MTSU football program.
Super excited to join y'all. Thanks for having me.
And Sam, just to kind of start us off, because I think an in-house beat writer is pretty rare from what I can, you know, from my experiences. So just kind of give us a little bit of background on what that access is like and just kind of what your working relationship is like with, you know, Mark Owens and the rest of the comms department there at Middle Tennessee.
So, yeah, Josh, great question. You know, I think it's a really sort of forward-looking position from our athletic department to have. You know, obviously, at sort of the G5 level, you know, a lot of the daily newspapers that were in higher circulations, you know, 20, 30 years ago have sort of gotten smaller or maybe got a little bit more focus. You know, the one in our town, the Daily News Journal, is sort of part of the Gannett conglomerate with a lot of other papers in the state. And so a lot of the focus has sort of shied away from, you know, some of the more smaller colleges in their thing. And so as Middle's earned media coverage, for lack of a better term, sort of declined over the years, Mark Owens and Middle Tennessee Athletics sort of created this position in order to give the Blue Raider fan base some of the day-to-day stories that you would get from a traditional beat writer that's embedded with the program, features, you know, sort of breakdowns of schemes and stuff like that, you know, day-to-day practice coverage, particularly in-season for football and men's and women's basketball, that just doesn't exist really so much in the day-to-day media landscape, particularly at our level, and, you know, it's harder and harder to find. And, you know, being in-house with that means that I get, you know, I can walk up the office, right up my office is right downstairs from where the coaches' offices are. So anytime I need something from them for a story I'm working on, I can just go knock on the door of the SID, who's usually, you know, two steps away from me in our office downstairs, the Murphy Center, and set that up right away. And you know, I get access, you know, people like our athletic trainers and other, you know, stuff like that for stories on injuries and things like that, that maybe somebody on the outside wouldn't necessarily get access to. So, you know, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff to it. We're doing a podcast series this summer right now where I'm interviewing a lot of my colleagues about, you know, some of the ways the athletic department works. Like, we got an episode on licensing that came out this week. You know, how do we get MTSU products, you know, into stores? That's something most people don't know about, and it's stuff that I have sort of the time to do being in-house, where I'm not so much worried about, you know, what my metrics are on an individual story. Obviously, you want the stories to be read by as many people as possible, but there's no sort of ad revenue goals from that. necessarily. So I see myself sort of as a resource. You know, I was fortunate, you know, I graduated from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And during my time there, I met a lot of in-house guys for Carolina. So, you know, guys like Adam Lucas and Turner Walston and Pat James, I sort of got to learn what the job was like, you know, from watching them sort of work in those spaces. And obviously it's a little different when you're, you know, an in-house guy for a team like Carolina that's going to have 20, 30 media members a night, those sort of things, and versus at Middle Tennessee, where it's usually me and a student reporter at a lot of these press conferences, and occasionally we'll have somebody from the local media come down as well. But that, you know, it grants our fans resources that wouldn't be there otherwise. And you know, often I'm helping produce stuff that we can send to TV stations in Nashville and get on their sort of TV blocks and other things. So it's a real positive for getting us in the media, and I just play a little bit of a role in that.
All right, Sam, what's your podcast series called so that people can go and listen in case they're hearing this right now and they're like, wait, we want to hear some more of that. I think you guys had Hans Mailbranch on this past week.
Hans was last Friday. Chelsea Floyd, by the time this episode airs, will have been the most recent episode.
I know Hans and Chelsea both. So great episodes, everyone. Go watch it. But what's the name of the series?
So the series is called Behind the Blue Raiders. Yeah, you can find it on our Athletic Department website, goblueraiders.com. New for this series, though, is we started a Spotify feed for all of our podcasts that we're going to do. We're trying to set one up with our new women's golf coach soon. That will also go in this feed. But if you go on Spotify and search for GoBlueRaiders.com podcasts, that's going to be your best way to find it. But really cool conversations. I think one for the football listeners that everybody in the conference will be interested in is Caitlin Manning, who's Derek Mason's chief of staff over the football office here at Middle. Obviously came in with Mason, you know, sort of this offseason. Really cool sort of behind the scenes stuff on just sort of how, you know, Division I FBS football works in 2024. Lots of cool stuff on scouting, logistics, site visits for away games, and then a little bit of her personal story too. You know, one reason I sort of started this series is when I got into college athletics, I didn't know that jobs like mine might existed, maybe jobs like you two have, but I didn't know, you know, what marketing did, what Hans does in the BRAA. You know, even really like what the training staff and the ticket office do. You know, obviously you hear training and ticket, you got an idea of what they do, but there's so much more to it than just what their job titles are. And so for college students interested in getting into athletics, I think it's a good sort of intro into that as well.
Awesome. Well, I mean, that's part of the reason we started this podcast, because sometimes people don't know what happens at the conference office, and we wanted to give a little inside look. Well, let's flip it to football. You were just talking a little bit about Coach Derek Mason, new head coach there on campus at MTSU. What have you gotten to see in your role so far out of Coach Mason that people at MTSU can get excited about, but also people from around the country and other Conference USA fans can kind of be looking forward to from getting to play his team this season?
Well, Derek Mason's got about as much energy as any coach I've been around. He's somebody that really loves people and loves engaging with people. You know, hanging out with him in media days, you know, last week, it was so funny to see him just sort of strike up a conversation with literally anyone who would walk past him. It could be another head coach. It could be somebody from the conference office. It could be somebody from the PGA of America that just was walking by. And he'd just say, hey, how are you? I'm Derek Mason. And just like 20 minutes later, you'd see him spin off into another conversation. That's just sort of who he is.
At Media Day, we exchanged pleasantries. I just kind of wanted to introduce myself as new football contact. And I think the third thing he said to me was he asked me what role I was. And he says, well, what's your goal? You know, what's your, you know, your end goal? What's your dream job? Like what? And I was like, I just met you. And I was like, I love it. You know, it spun into an awesome conversation. But yeah, I will definitely echo, you know, everything you just said from that. Yeah, that relational piece.
Well, you know, and I think for a lot of our fan base who obviously had Rick Stock still as a head coach for 18 years, they're excited that it's a new message, a new voice, and somebody that's willing to go into the community and share that vision and share that voice, you know, with them. You know, he's done such a good job reaching out to, you know, local Rotary clubs and other things like that, getting involved there. You know, he's hugely involved with the Boys and Girls Club here in Murfreesboro. That's an organization that he was in his youth was involved in and has stayed involved in, you know, as he's, you know, grown into adulthood and has gotten involved in charity organizations. So he's somebody that's really involved in the community. I think that's something that's going to work really well at Conference USA, obviously with all the community initiatives that we do, particularly with the teachers, you know, in our communities as well. You know, really engaged, and obviously, you know, coached at Vanderbilt before he came here. He's plugged into the sort of mid-state broader area, not just Murfreesboro. We're going to Nashville and the surrounding counties as well. And that's been a real positive for everyone. And then, you know, on the field, he's sort of doing a modified version of what he's known for, right? Like he was known as sort of a defense first, clock control, ground and pound type program at Vanderbilt. And he's doing that, but it's got a little bit of that Middle Tennessee flair to it. They're keeping a little bit of the sort of the air raid concepts that sort of define the program. Then the latter half of Rich Stock's still in offense because they ran a lot of them really well last year, and he wants to play to the team's strength. And defensively, you know, the team's not super set up for the 3-4 that Mason, I think, prefers to run, you know, all things considered. So, you know, the way he described it media day was it's a 4-3 defense with 3-4 principles. So they might be listed as a 3-4 sort of on your depth chart you see in the media guy that comes out here soon. But it's going to look a lot like the 4-3 there. And I expect you're going to see some exotic looks from Brian Stewart in that defense and in the weeks to come. So it'll be interesting. A lot of newcomers on the team, 59 total, 40 of them scholarship players. So a lot of questions for me heading into camp are just who's going to play, which is really exciting, you know, as practice gets started to see those battles sort of play out and see that old mix with the new really well.
You talk about all the newness around there. New head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, 59 new players on the roster, 40 of those scholarship players, like you were saying. You mentioned Brian Stewart a little bit, came over from the Houston Roughnecks there in the XFL. And like you said before, Derek Mason, he's a defense first kind of coach. What is their relationship like so far that you've been able to see, and what can we expect out of Coach Stewart going into the 2024 campaign?
I mean, well, their coaching relationships date back like almost to Mason's, I think, like first job out of Northern Arizona where he played. I'd have to go back and review my notes to figure out exactly when they started crossing paths, but they've been in each other's circle for decades at this point. This is really the first chance since those early days that they've gotten a chance to sort of coach together. And I think that was a big part of it. You know, collegiate stop-wise, you know, Coach Stewart's been at Maryland as well. He's been at Houston. So I remember hearing from defensive guys talking about how he's bringing up old school Conference USA teams. You know, when they're in meetings, you're talking about games against Tulsa and North Texas and East Carolina and other things. So it's kind of cool to have sort of that history sort of back in the room a little bit. But, you know, they're cut from the same tree. They've run a lot of the same stuff. You know, Coach Stewart spent a lot of time in the NFL, particularly the Dallas Cowboys. So he's going to bring sort of some of those pro style, pro, you know, terminology to what the defense is trying to do. And I'm just sort of excited to see what that looks like on a play calling sense. You know, Scott Schaefer, our defensive coordinator last year, was notorious for having a very blitz heavy defense, you know, or a lot of boom or bust. When it boomed, it really boomed. It was really exciting to watch. And then obviously there was, you know, when you risk, you sometimes get burned a little bit. So I'm curious sort of, you know, where on that sort of, you know, trend line Coach Stewart is, and a lot of it probably will depend on how he feels about his personnel once he gets out of August camp and we get into the really tough part of the schedule and start of the year as well. So what it might look like the first month of the season might be very different than what it looks like in the heart of conference play and those midweek games as well. But, you know, they're the same type of defensive coach. I think it's gonna be as close to Derek Mason running the defense as you can get without Derek actually putting his hands on it.
With all the changes that we've mentioned, and there's certainly plenty more that we haven't mentioned yet, but how important is it to have someone like Nick Vadiato to anchor the team around, that kind of knows Middle Tennessee, that knows the offense that you know that he kind of plans to run? And just to provide some more leadership to a lot of the newer guys.
I mean, your quarterback is always going to be one of the most critical players on the team. But, I mean, I think the best recruiting job Coach Mason's done so far is keeping Nick in the program, you know, sort of when everybody left. You know, we had a ton of starters that still had eligibility left that probably would be back here another year, you know, had, you know, things worked out differently last year, decided to move on from the program, as often happens with coaching change. Nick stuck around. Nick bought into the vision. I know there were certainly other schools that were interested in him because obviously he had a lot of production last year. And when you have that sort of steady hand, you know, at the quarterback position, it allows you to, you know, open up the offense pretty early on. You can make better use of some of the skill talent that they brought in, some skill talent that's already on the roster. And, you know, Nick's just incredibly smart. You know, I remember, you know, at Media Day watching him play in the new college football game, sort of in the station they had there. You could see him going through his progressions in the game. Just sort of, I could tell the way he was playing that he was reading the progressions of the way the offense was, which the offense that's in the game right now is very similar to the air raid they ran last year. So it doesn't surprise me that he knew, you know, who the third option was going to be and came back to it and hit the guy on the deep curl or deep pitch. That type of, you know, advanced knowledge and other things like that, it's hard to find. And, you know, Coach Mason, to his credit, brought in a lot of competition for Nick as well. Nick didn't rest on his laurels. Like, he had to earn it against Luther Richardson and Xavier Williams and a couple other top-level quarterback talents that they brought in. Roman Gagliano's a freshman they're really high on. And, you know, what Coach Mason told me is that Nick just continued to elevate above even those guys who did well that they brought in. And I think that's given them a lot of confidence, and Bodie Reeder, the new offensive coordinator, a lot of confidence on that side of the ball this year.
As we're talking, it's Monday, July 29th. We will probably release this episode on Thursday, August 1st, which is you guys, your all's first day of camp. Is there anything, I know there's a lot of newness, okay, but is there one thing in particular you're looking for in these first couple of days of camp that you're really going to be eagle-eyed on and going to be looking to see in those first couple of days?
But I think for me, it's always on the trench play in camp. You know, ever since I came here in 2021, the sort of, you know, broader, you know, conversation in the fan base has been, you know, can the offensive line, you know, get it done this year? Can we run the ball the way we want to? Can we protect the quarterback the way we want to? And they've brought in some big dudes up front that they're going to be pretty new. That's going to give them a different look, a different size than we've had up front in a long time. At the same time, on the opposite side of the ball, the defensive line lost more than anybody last year as far as who left the team. So you have a ton of new faces that are going to have to make their impact early and sort of uphold that reputation as one of the better defensive lines in Conference USA pretty early on. And so sort of seeing that tug and war in camp, that's one of the areas that it's sort of the easiest to judge day to day because they often are doing a lot of one-on-one drills together. So watching that, figuring out, you know, who's stepping up, who needs to step up, you know, sort of going forward, it's going to be key for this team's success early on and throughout the year. And I think it's probably the two biggest questions I have had in the season is how both of those trenches are going to perform. Because I think the skill guys on both sides of the ball, you feel pretty confident in it.
Sifting through some of the new faces on the team, I think a couple that, you know, Mark had keyed in on when we've talked is wide receiver Amari Kelly and then safety Brandon Harris, who, you know, has kind of an interesting story having been recruited by and played for Coach Mason already. But just talk to me about, you know, whether it's them two or anybody else that you've really noticed, whether it was in spring ball or just in other workouts that have really jumped out or you expect to be immediate contributors on this team.
Well, Amari Kelly was the guy that jumped off the screen sort of in spring ball, jumped off the field, you know, just a very athletically gifted receiver that has been in college football long enough that he's brought in some of that more refined route running that you expect, you know, a guy that's going to be a junior in eligibility when he starts for us, coming in, build a rapport with Nick really quickly. We saw that rapport in the spring game. I think he had close to 100 yards, you know, in sort of that four-quarter contest. Can do a lot of really good things from the outside with some good speed. You know, he's somebody that they're going to rely on a lot, has, you know, showed some spectacular catchability at Auburn. And, you know, I think is somebody that's going to be key for the offense's goals this year is to get him going consistently. You know, Brandon Harris, you know, he's got the resume that makes a lot of boomers in college football, you know, upset. You know, I think this is going to be his sixth or seventh season, third school. But he's done a lot with that time. You know, he's been at Vanderbilt. He's been at Wake Forest, two incredible academic institutions. He's made connections there that are going to pay off, you know, way down the line for him, you know, when he finishes his final year of eligibility here. As far as what he can do for Middle Tennessee, you know, he's just a smart guy that understood the culture that Derek Mason wanted. And I think getting guys like him in, guys like Marion Carter, who was also at Vanderbilt when Coach Mason was there, I think was recruited by Mason, you know, before he went there. Getting those types of guys in that they know what the types of culture that Coach Mason wants and sort of help the new guys and help some of the old guys understand, you know, sort of the standards that he wanted to have in the weight room and other things, invaluable to have that kind of leadership there. And he's a pretty good safety on the field. You know, he's had some injury troubles the last couple of years at Wake, but when he's been healthy, he's been a very solid, you know, Power 5 caliber safety. And, you know, you take that down to Conference USA level, he's going to be, you know, a pretty strong player here. You know, I just hope he stays healthy throughout the year so we can continue to see him, you know, sort of get established. You know, defensively, a newcomer I'd keep my eyes on is Felix Hickson. He's going to be defensive tackle sort of on that defensive line from South Carolina. I didn't really get a chance with the Gamecocks, but I think has the ability to play early here just because of some of the turnover in that room. And again, he's got a lot of size for this level that I think will be really hard to stop. And then Jamela Knox is, I think, the grad transfer on the offensive line. I think we list him just under 400 pounds. I think he's probably cut that down a little bit since he's gotten here. 6'8", big tackle there. And so, you know,
understatement, I think.
Well, whether he's getting a starting role or maybe he's in some sort of jumbo goal line package as an extra blocker, they're going to find a way to use him in a way I think is pretty interesting as the year goes on. And so he's somebody that I'm going to be watching early and see if he can get in that starting, you know, offensive line pitcher, because there's going to be some competition for the tackle spots, no question.
I want to take a second to talk about the Blue Raiders' schedule. So you start the season with Tennessee Tech at home, but then it gets really interesting. You go to Ole Miss. You've got the 100 miles of hate game in the third weekend of the season at home, thankfully for you guys. But that's a game that's got a lot of emotion behind it. Then you have Duke at home, and then you go to Memphis, an in-state foe. How are you looking for things to shake up in these first 5 weeks of the season? I mean, I feel like this might be a make or break for the Blue Raider season.
Well, the good news about that schedule is that if you know, I think Middle's probably only going to be favored, you know, with our friends out in the desert in one of those games. But they're going to have a chance if they win, you know, two, or if they win three of those five games. Like, you set yourself up for a pretty special year right away if you can take care of business once it comes to the conference schedule. And on the alternative, if your only win is that Tennessee Tech game, like, your season's not over. You still have a lot of football in front of you that you're going to feel like you can make some noise with, you know, the rest of the way. You know, first year of a new coach is always tough. And those early games, you know, it's going to be tested a lot, but we'll find out a lot about this team, I think, particularly with that 100 miles of hate game, third week of the season. Really exciting to get that, you know, on a weekend day early in the year. Both fan bases are going to be still invested in their teams that early, regardless of what happens the rest of the way. So I think you're going to have a pretty special game environment in Floyd for that. And, you know, having that early in the year, it's a little bit unusual, but I think it is actually going to work out pretty well to make that a pretty good rivalry game. Obviously, one Western's gotten the better of in recent years, but new blood on the Middle side, and they've got some confidence that what they're doing is working right now. And not have enough tape that they might not be able to throw a few wrinkles in, and as you always do in a rivalry game.
Well, and anytime that you get the opportunity to host a Power 4 school, when you look at that Duke game, that's obviously kind of a unique scenario. So, you know, are you expecting the Middle fans to show out and hopefully create a hostile enough environment to make some headlines in that one?
Yeah, Josh, it's the type of game that's sort of going by the wayside as we have some of those, you know, Power 5 commissioners, you know, state explicitly that they don't want to play any road games against, you know, non-peer institutions. Yeah, I think it's the term the ACC used in particular. You know, credit to our athletic director, Chris Massaro, you know, he got that on the schedule a while ago. I believe that one of the return games, I think this was a 2-for-1 originally, one of them was in the 2020 season, which got canceled. So I'm not even sure if it's even still a 2-for-1. It might even be a 1-for-1 at this point. But really big game. You know, the coach of the Duke Blue Devils is here, Manny Diaz, was a longtime defensive coordinator here during our Sun Belt days. So there's some, you know, goodwill towards Manny coming back here for that. And but, you know, their program in transition too. You know, they lost a lot of talent when Mike Elko went to Texas A&M. So you're getting a Duke team that's had some solid years the past couple of years, but might still be figuring some things out when they roll into Murfreesboro. And I think that's exciting for everyone. And as you said, we don't get too many of those around here these days. So I think people will be engaged. People will be excited early on in September when that game comes around.
Well, Sam, I really appreciate you for joining us today, doing this deep dive in the Middle Tennessee Blue Raider program. I think you provided a lot of information to our fan bases. I hope some Middle fans tune in to get a little season preview. But you're about to be busy, I have a feeling, my friend, with camp starting. So glad we could get this out of the way early. But maybe we'll catch up mid-season, see how things are going.
I hope so. You know, Coach Mason, very different from Coach Stockstill. Coach Stockstill was an afternoon practice coach. Derek Mason, 7 a.m. sharp. So I've set my alarms. I'm ready to go. Bought a case of Red Bull for fall camp. So we're rocking and rolling here in Murfreesboro, but excited to get the season kicked off for sure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. If any of our friends, if anyone around the country from Red Bull is listening, I think Sam needs an NIL sponsorship from Red Bull to fuel his early morning practices throughout the season. Well, Sam, thank you again. Good luck to the Blue Raiders this season, and have a great afternoon.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
All right. Next up here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA, we have the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders with us right now. We've got an extra student athlete in here, too. We're going to have an extra amount of fun because of that. So Coach Derek Mason is joining us today. We've also got Devin Curtis, Brendan Harris, and Nick
Vadiato.
See, I knew I was going to botch it, so I just let you do it. So, guys, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Happy to have you here live in Frisco, Texas from Conference USA Football Media Days. How have you guys been enjoying your time so far?
It's been great. Been great. Had a great day yesterday. Another great day coming today, so we're excited for it.
Any golf played yesterday? Any fake golf, I guess I should say, virtual?
Bad golf played.
Bad golf.
Bad artist.
Yeah. Who was the worst?
I was probably the worst. But
like himself under the bus over there. Coach, did you play any golf?
I didn't play any golf last year. I hopped on the video game, but for these guys, if they're good golfers, we're gonna be a bad football team. So I rather have us stay in the space of the things that we do every day. So
yeah.
We're good.
No, I understand that. Okay. I understand that. Well, thank you guys again for joining us. I'm going to start out with a different kind of question than you guys usually get, probably. We're going to talk less football in here, more fun and interesting stuff. One of my favorite questions to ask student athletes, because you are student athletes, is how you chose your major and why. So, Devin, I'm going to start with you. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were just awarded the Jim Castaneda postgraduate scholarship from Conference USA. So, yes, congratulations on that. So tell me a little bit about your major, why you chose it, and just kind of what you might want to do in the future.
So I graduated with a sport management degree. I'm working on a master's in business administration right now. So I kind of just chose that because I've always been involved with sports. My family's been a sporty family for as long as I can remember. So I just wanted to learn more about the business aspect of it. Now with my MBA, I feel like it reaches a broader aspect of opportunities for myself later on after I'm done with football.
And you're not just completing your major. You have a 3.9 GPA, which is incredible. So congratulations on that. That is not for anybody, but especially a student athlete with the rigorous schedule that you go through. So congratulations. Brendan, what about you?
So I'm actually working on my second master's degree.
All right.
In undergrad, I majored in medicine, health, and society, my master's in liberal arts studies, and now I'm headed to strategic leadership and development. With that, I just kind of want to learn how to be a leader, how to run a business, the ins and outs of corporate America, and just how to stand out there. So
that is quite a mouthful. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to make some space on this wall if you all have degrees. Seriously, that's awesome. What about you, Nick?
So I'm majoring in exercise science. I've always been interested in just learning about the anatomy and physiology of the body. And I think, obviously, you can't play football forever. So, you know, I just think what sports offers you, just when it comes to that feeling of being around a team and being around people within a sport, it's unmatched. So I would always love to be around sports for the rest of my life, whether it's playing or whether it's not. So I've always loved like the medical side and learning about it. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I graduate this upcoming year, so I'm excited.
Awesome. I just love to hear that, guys. Like I said before, being a student athlete is hard work. I don't think people realize or respect that enough. So thank you guys for sharing that. Well, you said, Nick, you can't play football forever, but you can virtually play football forever. The new EA Sports College Football 25 game just dropped. We were just talking about it before. Yes. We went live. It's back.
Finally.
Derek Mason over here saw my husband last night playing because he has not gotten to play in 10 years. So he was having a really good time.
Yeah.
But which one of you is the best at the game so far? And what has been like maybe your favorite aspect about the new game that's come out so far?
Well, about 5 minutes ago, I saw Brendan and Devin play each other, and 0 points were scored.
So, first quarter, but still.
I mean, I just want to go out on a limb and say I'm probably better than both of them, but that's no discredit to them. But I think the coolest aspect is just like seeing all of us in the game, and like really, like it's who we are, it's our name, it's close to what we look like. A lot of people say my character looks like Devin, but I mean, you can't get a perfect. But I think it's just really cool to see like ourselves in the game. And I think when you're a younger kid, like 10 years ago when I was playing the game, I think we all had that dream probably when we were younger to be in Madden or a game like that. So it's almost like a dream come true to see it.
That's super cool. What about you guys? Are you going to let him talk trash to you like that?
Definitely. I'm the best player. I wasn't able to get my playbook, you know, and everything, like my adjustments. But I definitely would say the most fun aspect of it is, again, is one, seeing yourself, like the amount of texts I got. Man, you dropped me a pick, or you sold me the game. Like, it's pretty funny to see people like actually playing against you or playing with you. And then just being able to see your teammates and see people you played against or play with, like in the video game, and be able to use them and play against them. So
that's super cool. What about you, Devin?
For me, it was, like they said, seeing ourselves on there. But I'm a real Dynasty player. I do Dynasty all day. I'll spend hours on it. But one major thing when the game came out that I said I wanted to see is my little brother just got to college. I said, Lord, please let me have a higher overall than him.
That's funny. So where does your brother play?
He's at the University of Michigan right now.
Awesome. That's super cool. Well, I think that the DMs and the text thing is really, really funny. There is a gentleman here from UTEP, Bo Westmoreland. I know that he has gotten a lot of Heisman victories, like with people playing with him. He's like, yeah, I get DMs all the time that I just won the Heisman with you. And so that's so crazy to think about. But Nick, okay, I told you I wasn't going to talk much football, but I want to talk a little bit of football because you had, I think, for some people, it was quiet, but a quietly good year last year. What are you going to do going into 2024 to kind of capitalize on that and improve on it on the field?
Yeah, I think it's just obviously you always want to continue to build on what you've done. You always have to continue to get better, and I think that we've done a really good job this offseason, not just myself, but the rest of the team. We have a lot of new players that came in the spring and even the summer, and it's just been day by day. You know, we're working hard day by day, and that's all you can do. You know, we're with each other in the summer. The coaches aren't around much, but you're getting to know the new guys. You're getting a lot of chemistry with the new receivers, and you're just getting the plays down with the O-line, making sure all the calls are right. And so I think getting everyone on the same page is really crucial. And I mean, it took a couple of weeks, but I think now we're going in, this is our last week of summer before camp starts to ramp up, and I'm really confident in the guys we have around us. And I'm you know, really looking forward to what we have, because I think we have a good group, and this group's going to do a lot of good for us this year. And I'm excited to play with these guys. And I know Devin and Brendan can talk a lot about the defense, but the offense has been really good, and everyone's just soaked up a ton of information. So I'm really excited moving forward, and all you can do is take it day by day and just continue to build on what you've done.
Coach, I'm going to flip it over to you for just a second. Talk about all of these guys, Nick included. Just obviously you inherited a program. This is your first year here at Middle Tennessee, and there's new names on the roster, but there's returning names on the roster too. So what can you say about these three gentlemen sitting in front of me and just kind of what you're looking forward to this season?
Well, first, it's a new era of MTSU Blue Raider football, right? But this new era is being ushered in with some extremely good veterans and some experienced pieces that we believe, you know, sort of set us up to go play good football. I think like these three young men here, I mean, Nick, when you look at his stats, when you look at what he did like a year ago, he did it quietly, man, but he's at the top of the leaderboard right now in terms of what he's done. So he walks into, you know, this year with a lot of cachet, right? Not just amongst our program, but amongst his peers. And I think that's awesome. BH and I go back as well as Devin. I mean, both of these young men are recruited out of high school. Mm-hmm. So I think knowing who they are, what they've done, the places they've been, they're seasoned veterans. They know how to lead. They're guys who were fully invested in our blue collar process. We work hard every day. Every day is a job interview. And what these guys have done is lead the way. This group to me has been player led, coach fed. Mm-hmm. I say what I need to say, and these guys do the work. They manage it. They've helped our young guys, because in college football it looks different now. It used to be used to have guys in the middle. Now with the portal, you have old guys and young guys. So you have to let your leaders lead, and these guys have done a tremendous job of doing it.
Awesome. Brendan, I'll ask you this question. So camp is starting next week, right? There's got to be something, though, that you're looking forward to about camp. I know camp is tough. Don't get me wrong. I know it's tough. But you get together with your team. You're back on the field all together. What is it maybe just for you individually that you're most looking forward to getting back and starting camp?
So I'm definitely one of the definitely old heads. You know, this is going to my seventh season. Mm-hmm. So throughout that journey, I've just kind of found a way to embrace the process and the journey along the way. So, yeah, it is a grind, but I've kind of kind of falling in love with waking up at 5 a.m., you know, eating right, getting hydrated before you go to practice. You got practice, you got meetings, you got lifts, you got walkthroughs at the end of the day. You go to bed, you wake up, and you do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something about that process that I've kind of grown to enjoy, and that's why I love playing football. So,
yeah, I want to be in love with waking up at 5 a.m. That sounds nice. I need to get that mentality for sure.
These other two haven't embraced that yet. They're getting closer. They're getting closer, but they haven't embraced it yet.
Yeah, that's tough. I got two little kids at home, and I do not want to wake up at 5 a.m. Like, please, do not wake me up. Devin and Coach mentioned this. He recruited you out of high school. So how's the transition been for you, you know, being able to be with Coach Mason?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, I finally get playing with Coach Mason. And when he got hired, I was really excited.
Yeah.
All my mom, all my parents. Yep. We're back, you know, like we're going to have a good season. And I know that when he came in, we're going to stick to the blue-collar mentality, just working hard every day and improving just slowly, but slowly getting there, especially with all these new guys coming mm-hmm. in. So he brought in a whole bunch of guys that I feel contribute and they mesh well with the rest of the team
mm-hmm.
and building the team chemistry. But it's been a real fun experience.
Awesome. All right. Fun locker room question.
Yeah.
Who's the funniest guy in the locker room? Who's cracking jokes?
Terry Wilkins.
Okay.
Terry Wilkins, one of our running backs, is the funniest kid I've ever met in my life. I mean,
that seems so funny. Like, is it jokes or just the way he acts?
Jokes, the way he acts, his energy he brings. I think he always has a smile on his face. And that doesn't take away anything from, like, what he does on the field. Like, he's a hard worker in the weight room on the field, knows what he's supposed to do, comes in every day. But, I mean, there's not one person I think that you can find that Terry hasn't made laugh. Yeah. So,
you agree with that?
Terry Wilkins.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. He Terry's a character. I mean, in a good way. You know, sometimes when you have those guys and they can become detractors to your football team. Terry's not that. I mean, he's got a genuine spirit. He smiles. I mean, he's a father. You know, and I think, you know, his maturity, you know, the way he sees life a little bit lends itself to him sort of being a guy that can break up, you know, any monotony in the room. So I like Terry for what he is, but the dude's an incredible teammate too.
That's great. All right. Who is overly serious in the locker room and needs maybe a little bit more of Terry's laughter in their life?
Oh, good.
Overly serious?
Is it one of you sitting in front of me? No?
Might be Brandon.
No, it's not. that's a good question. And then, what are we thinking here?
Or do y'all all cut up all the time? Is this really what's happening here?
CJ Johnson.
Okay, CJ is, but that's Rev though. So
yeah,
that makes a lot.
Rev. Yeah. Okay, is that your nickname for him?
Yeah.
Okay, is he's the reverend in the locker room? Is that wide?
Yeah,
he is.
I would say probably CJ.
Yeah,
if anybody, it's CJ.
Okay,
but you know what? I got one. What about Brody?
No,
not
no.
You're anything. That's just serious about on his face.
That's just you got it.
Then you know something about Brody that you do not.
They do. He's such a perfectionist.
That's fantastic. Okay, guys, we have just a little bit of time left here, and so I want to make sure that I get to this question. I had Coach on the podcast a few weeks ago. He already answered this question for me, so we'll see if there is some overlap, but. We do a segment on CUSA Insider that we call CUSA Eats. I myself am a foodie, but I know that we have foodies all over the country at all of our different schools. And some of them might be traveling to Murfreesboro this year for a game. So let me hear some restaurant favorites there in Murfreesboro. Where do we need to eat in the borough if we come to visit?
See, I already know both of them are probably going to say Jefferson's.
No, I think I would love to say the Boulevard first.
Okay.
They're great. There are great people over there. I think along with the Boulevard, Slick Pig, if you like barbecue, Slick Pig has really good barbecue.
Slick Pig, okay.
And I never had smoked wings before going there, and smoked wings are phenomenal.
Been missing out.
They're phenomenal, so.
Okay.
I eat at the Boulevard at least four times a week.
Okay.
So I might definitely have to shout them out. I mean, their menu is huge. You can get something different every single time. So that's definitely be my option to go.
Awesome. How about you, Devin?
Slick Pig is definitely up there for me.
Okay.
Good bit, and I'd say Slick Pig, Boulevard, Jonathan's. You really can't go wrong in Murfreesboro.
We need to have a Slick Pig conversation because I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. I did not mention that to y'all in order. That's down the road from Murfreesboro, and so I have some real strong barbecue opinions.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, what makes So good. What is it? What's your? I know you like the smoked wings, but what else do y'all like there?
That's what I go for, the smoked wings as well. I mean, that sounds really good too. You know, you got to get you some mac and cheese, baked beans, potato salad. Right. It's just everything's good. That's the problem. You can't get something that's
not. It's not bad.
Yeah,
I love fried.
Tried it for the last week.
You've never had it before?
No.
Where it's from?
Florida.
Okay, but still.
I tell you, my opinion was cool by Slick Pig. They don't have a refined palate because I said Ali Ome, and like these guys just eat whatever. but I will say, when we talk about Slick Pig, all of it is really authentic Southern food. Really? I mean, when you talk about, you know, the smoking process, it's right outside. It's being smoked in front of you. Look, man, they've got five grills sitting out there. I mean, they're opened up. I mean, they got a true smoker sitting out there. So it's true Southern smoke.
Okay.
Food. And when you talk about fried, hey man, the grease is dripping on the, you know the paper they put up. The fried okra, hey man, the grease is thicker than the okra. So it's true fried food. So I mean, if you want some good Southern fried food, come on down, hit Slick Pig. But there are a lot of great restaurants in Murfreesboro.
I've heard some good ones. I have not been back there since 2018 when you guys played for the Conference USA Championship. So I need you guys, like, come on. I want to come back. Let's do
championships? Is that what you're doing? She only does championships. Okay.
We'll have to talk to Judy about maybe setting me for something else. We'll have to see. I'll have to tread lightly on this, but you guys have a great music department there at Middle Tennessee.
We do.
Sneak peek for everyone listening, because it's not really in the works quite yet, but we are going to be working with the Middle Tennessee Music Department this year to create some songs for Conference USA specifically. So shout out to the Greater Music Department.
Yes.
Super excited about that. So maybe I'll have to come back just to like get into the music department, and I'll have to sit some restaurants.
Hey, fellas, let's give you MTS.
Yeah. I mean, clearly we talked about it before, they have great academic programs there as well. So but right there next to Nashville, several Grammy award winners coming out of there. But like, I guess since we're talking about the borough, let's just keep on the borough. What is it about Murfreesboro? I mean, there's so much buy-in there to the program. They bleed blue there in Murfreesboro. I have family from Fayetteville, Tennessee, which is not that close, and they bleed blue there. So what is it about Murfreesboro that makes you guys just love to be a part of the community too?
I think it's the people.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. Like, one of the first things I noticed when I came to Murfreesboro was, like, you drive by a gas station, you drive by someone's home, there's a MTSU flag, MTSU sign somewhere. Go to the Walmart, you know, the section full of MTSU gear, everybody has MTSU on. So it's just a genuine love and a genuine respect for the community and the MTSU culture that's there. So it's just good to see the support. You know, everybody's supporting MTSU.
Awesome. What about you, Devin?
Well, I live 45 minutes away, so I've always known about Murfreesboro. And over the past few years I've been at MTSU, I've been able to grow connections more and more. And like you said, anywhere you go, there's MTSU stuff, and now there's starting to be people I know. So it's nice going into a restaurant or a store and just seeing someone you know, familiar base.
Yeah. You guys do have a great brand. Growing up in Memphis, like, that's where we played our basketball championships in the glass house. Like, that's where we were. So when I got to work here, I was like, oh, yeah, that's MTSU. I know them. So you guys do have a national brand. I think you guys are going to have a really great season. I hope that you guys do. And I'm looking forward to getting back to Murfreesboro. I'll come and visit, I promise. Yes. And good luck this season, you guys. I'm really excited for this program and what you guys are doing there at the borough. So thank you guys for joining us today. Have fun the rest of the day, because it's not a serious thing here.
So,
fun.
So we're going to have some fun.
Okay, good. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Woo! If you've made it this far, we certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening today. Thank you again also to everyone from Middle Tennessee that joined us on the program. Sam Doughton, Coach Derek Mason, Brendan Harris, Devin Curtis, and Nick Vadiato. Guys, we will be back again next week with another season preview episode. Like I said at the top, next Tuesday, we will be previewing the Jacksonville State Gamecocks. And Thursday, we will be previewing the newest members of CUSA football, the Kennesaw State Owls. So those will be two episodes you certainly do not want to miss. Go ahead and subscribe to CUSA Insider on Apple and Spotify. And go follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod so you make sure you never miss a new episode. Well, that is it for me today, guys. Thank you so much again for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.